After new jam sessions inside the Drive at 5, Rosie LaDue along with Nikki Wallace filling in for PA. As promised, we have a very special guest in the studio with us. I'd like to welcome in the studio Senior Assistant Prosecutor Randy Castrava, who is running for Muskegon County 14th Circuit Court Judge. How are you today?
Fantastic, and I appreciate the opportunity to share some time with you today on the air.
Thank you, and thank you for being here.
Yep, you're welcome.
It's crunch time. Election's only a few days away. How do you feel? How are you feeling right now?
Feel very good. Election is 5 days away, and we feel very good.
Okay.
Yep. It's been a fantastic campaign, and the opportunity to run for public office is really an honor at any level. When you venture out into the public arena and say, I want to run for public office, you really gain a true appreciation for what it means to be a servant to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So the campaign is going well.
Campaign is going well. Very well.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're feeling good.
Yes.
Yes. Let's tell the community, the listeners, for those who are still debating, maybe on the fence or may not even want to vote. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your background and tell them who Randy Castrava is. Let's go into your background.
Sure. My formal name is Raymond. A lot of folks don't even know that, my formal name, and it's on the ballot as Raymond because that is my official given birth name. I've gone by Randy my whole life. I'm a senior assistant prosecuting attorney here in Muskegon County. I've been in that position for 20 years. This is the 14th Circuit Court judge position that is an open seat. Judge James Graves is retiring after 32 years of distinguished service to our community as a circuit judge, so that's an open seat, and as of January 2nd, somebody's got to fill that seat. I'm running for this open judicial seat because I feel strongly that when you lose a judge with 32 years of experience, you need to replace that judge with somebody with real courtroom experience.
Okay.
And I've been in the courtroom every day of my career for the last 20 plus years. I started out, and many may not know this, as a criminal defense lawyer. I worked with the Urban Law Clinic in the city of Detroit, and that was a supplemental system to the public defender system in the city of Detroit.
Okay.
And my very first criminal jury trial was defending an indigent client charged with a theft offense. My first motions to suppress evidence were not as an assistant prosecutor.
I was going to say, yeah, you were on a whole different side of the coin.
That's
then.
Exactly
okay.
Right. Yeah, so my first motions to suppress evidence were as a criminal defense lawyer representing an indigent client charged with a drug offense in the city of Detroit. And it was an honor to serve. And that's really where you gain the heart of a servant, when you know that the community needs you.
Mm-hmm.
They need your skills. You've been gifted from God with some gifts, and you need to give back. And it's that motivation that called me to public service. I then joined a large law firm in the city of Detroit shortly after graduating from law school and passing the bar exam, and worked in the area of medical malpractice defense.
Okay.
And so we defended doctors and nurses charged with negligence in the Detroit area hospital system. But it wasn't long after that I was again called back to public service and took a job in 1992 with the Muskegon County Prosecutor's Office. You know, they gave a young lawyer, green behind the ears, a chance to try some cases. And given those gifts that I mentioned earlier, things went well for me. And I've been in the courtroom, in every courtroom in the county of Muskegon, and that's probate and district and circuit court. I've tried cases in front of every judge in this county. Mm-hmm. I've tried cases in every courtroom in this county. For the last 20 years, that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
So and I just feel this, I need to say this to you, Rosie, is that that with an open judicial seat, I think it's important that we replace experience with real experience, good decision-making skills, and some common sense mixed in there, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
On the circuit court level, what would be your primary focus of as far as cases that you handle?
Well, Judge Graves' docket right now is principally a criminal docket. It's about 70% criminal cases and approximately 30% civil cases. And those criminal cases that are handled in the circuit court are felony criminal cases.
Okay.
So the major felony cases are handled in circuit court. And any civil case with a claimed value of over $25,000. So the felonies and major criminal cases. Now, our circuit court is very unique in that we in Muskegon have a true blended family court. And really the principle behind that is it's a circuit court level judicial position, but a blended family court means that in essence it's one family, one judge. So you may have a divorce case where there's also a juvenile delinquency issue, where there's also a Department of Human Services issue. Mm-hmm. And one judge is going to get assigned that one family, no matter what type of case is involved, whether it's a divorce. Because, you know, if you have a juvenile delinquent, somebody, a person under the age of 17 mm-hmm. committing a criminal offense, that's usually really just a symptom of a problem. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a divorce, sometimes it's abuse and neglect going on in the home. And, right. and you get a whole conglomeration, I'll say, of issues in that family. And it just is very advantageous right. to have one judge handle all the issues with that one family.
It's so almost like managed care within the medical system, yes, where you go to your primary mm-hmm. care provider to get references out if you need them. You would be that one stop for that family. They were to need services, is that kind of...
Yes, it's really boiled down to the simple principle of one family, mm-hmm. one judge in the family court arena. Now, that is a circuit judge position as well.
Okay.
So, and there's been some discussion that there will be some movement amongst the circuit judges about who's going to handle family law issues. Now, I have to tell you this, that early in my career, I represented the Department of Human Services as a family lawyer. In many, many cases, I drafted petitions on behalf of the Department of Human Services and then argued those petitions in court, in mm-hmm. probate court, in the family court. So I have extensive experience as a family court lawyer as well, within the confines of the prosecutor's office, because we were representing the Department of Human Services and still mm-hmm. do.
Okay. Now, if elected, what would you like to see change? Are there any changes that you would like to make?
Well, you know, the changes that are at the forefront of everybody's consciousness right now is the implementation of specialty courts. You know, we're hearing a tremendous amount about the success of drug courts in other counties, and I would be very open to sitting down with the County Board of Commissioners, mm-hmm. the Circuit Court Administrator, and the other judges to explore the possibility of a drug court in Muskegon County. And what that is a diversion court to deal with somebody's issues. You know, 70% of the people that come into the criminal justice system either have a mental health issue or a drug or alcohol abuse issue, or a combination of both of those.
70%?
Yes.
Wow.
So that tells me, as someone involved in the justice system, that we need to address those issues.
Right.
We need to address them head on. And I would be willing to sit down and discuss the implementation of a mental health court in circuit court and a drug court in circuit court. Now, we have a mental health court in district court in Muskegon County right now, and I see it as very successful. There are two individuals that work principally through the community mental health system, and they come down to the courthouse every day, and new arraignments that come in through the district court for misdemeanor offenses are screened for mental health issues. And that means that person is getting placed in the right
mm-hmm.
location. They're getting their medication. They're mm-hmm. getting treatment. And to me, that's addressing the root cause of criminal activity.
So
and that's smart management.
Mm-hmm. So for those issues, would different human services agencies have to submit petitions to the circuit court level to see any changes come down, or will they still have the power? Who has the power to bring those changes about? Like, do they come through you?
Well, let's get for real about mm-hmm. this now, okay? A circuit court judge has the jurisdiction right now, without the special name of any specialty court or mm-hmm. label put on it, to sentence anybody to a available program, meaning to a mental health treatment mm-hmm. facility or to a drug or alcohol rehabilitation center. But the operative word there is programs available, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So that
right.
comes down to finances, right. doesn't it? And so we need to make sure that we are good lobbyists for where our funds are being allocated
mm-hmm.
and where the need within the system is.
Right. Which local agencies best service those communities as a whole person.
Right. So my point being that the circuit judge right now has within their discretion the ability to sentence anybody to a mental health treatment facility. We just need to have a good one in Muskegon.
Right.
The circuit judge has the ability to sentence anybody to a drug or alcohol rehabilitation program. Mm-hmm. We just need good ones in Muskegon. Right now we have West Michigan Therapy.
Great organization.
It's a great organization, mm-hmm. but it is an outpatient treatment center.
Right.
Some people need the regimen and the intensity and the care of an inpatient treatment right. facility to deal with their addiction.
To remove them from that environment.
Yes, absolutely. And, absolutely. We need one in Muskegon, local. Right now, many people are going to the Salvation Army. It's it's a six-month drug and alcohol rehabilitation program, but it's in Grand Rapids. A lot of folks in Muskegon don't have the ability to commute right. back and forth their family.
Right.
And that's an inpatient treatment center. It'd be great to have one in Muskegon.
Okay.
I'd be a proponent of that.
That's going to be my next question. That's great to hear.
Now, how accessible will you be to the community, and will you be open to suggestions from the public?
I think that when you are asking to be a public servant, accessibility is a priority. Now, within the bounds of ethics, I would intend to make myself very accessible. I've been very accessible as an assistant prosecutor. I've volunteered in our community with many organizations, the United Way and the Muskegon Exchange Club and Muskegon Ambucks and Knights of Columbus, and I've coached kids in every sport imaginable, baseball, football, basketball, boys and girls. And it's that type of community involvement that makes you accessible to people. They see you, you're visible, you're active in giving back to your community. I see no reason why a person on the bench can't be active in their community.
Right, and right. I wanted to point that out because I believe it's that activity that you've put into the community, that wholeheartedness approach that you've taken to, you know, being seen and being a integral part of that, that led to that primary success. You know, because you had quite a bit of leverage over the competition there, if I may say.
We were blessed in many ways, but that doesn't come overnight. That mm-hmm. That's groundwork that you lay working 20 years in this community. That's groundwork that was laid 10, 15 years ago. It's building relationships.
And if you would, over the time, you know, of your tenure, how have you seen the climate change regarding, you know, who's coming in, the statistics of, you know, like you said, it's 70% mental health issues are coming in now.
Well, what I wanted to, let's be clear, it's approximately 70% of the incoming folks into the criminal justice system either have a drug or alcohol program or a mental health issue mm-hmm. or a combination of both. So my point earlier in our conversation was, when you know that the statistics are as such, then let's sit down and address those mm-hmm. issues. What can we do as folks working within the system to address those issues? And that's just common sense to me.
Right.
That's just common sense. But yes, back to your earlier point, it's really about building relationships and building trust, and that's right. accessibility. And again, within the bounds of ethics, I can see no reason why, as a judge, I would be any different.
What would you say to someone who says, you know what, I don't think I'm voting in this election. I don't think my vote will make a difference.
Oh, my goodness. I would say, please... please vote. And I was speaking to some young people at Muskegon Community College just recently, and I asked those individuals, you know, who would like to be involved in politics? And this was a class of about 35 students, mm-hmm. and not one hand was raised. And I said, you know what? Don't misperceive what mm-hmm. I'm asking you. I'm not asking you, are you going to run for office?
Right.
I'm saying, who wants to be involved in politics? Being involved in politics means you get out and vote. Mm. That's involved in politics. Being a conscientious voter, knowing who you're going to vote for and the reasons why, and executing that plan, going out and voting. That's being involved in politics at the most basic level. And that's all you need to do to be involved in politics, is just vote. Mm. My dad told me when I was a young kid, if you don't vote, you don't gripe.
I like
well
that.
Well said.
Definitely well said.
What beliefs do you bring to the position, as far as your outlook on, you know, your approach to handling those family situations, and, you know, I guess considering the groundwork that you've already put in, the history that you have already, what is your outlook on approaching it from a spiritual aspect, if any?
Well, I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a spiritual man, a faith-filled man, and it's that faith that guides me in making decisions in my job, and it's been that way since the beginning of my career, and I can see it being no less as from the bench. Mm-hmm. I've often prayed for justice. Does that tell you what does that tell you where I'm at?
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
Okay. And I guess one my final question would be your relationship with the I guess with the other candidates. I mean, do you guys have a working relationship? Okay. I'll let you take that one.
Absolutely.
He's giving me a pretty big smile over the air. So
absolutely. Yeah, you know, in the primary there were six candidates, and I knew every one of them, and we had a fine working relationship, and that's the way it is right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's the way it is right now. There's no reason you can't be civil in executing the responsibilities you have within the system.
Especially if we're all fighting for the same thing anyway.
Well, yeah, if you're praying for justice, then we're all working for the same thing, aren't we?
Yes,
we all have our roles and we have our jobs to do, and we have an ethical obligation to zealously present our case. But there's no reason you can't be civil and do the same thing.
Well, you're right about that, yes. If elected, come Tuesday, November the 6th, what's the first thing you'll do?
Well, my wife and I have been working pretty hard at this campaign, so we may take a little breather.
Okay.
But no, the first thing I would do if elected would be make myself available to sit down with the circuit court administrator and the other judges and say, how can I hit the ground running come January 2nd? I want to put myself in the best position on the first day of work to be able to do the job and do it well. So I would work for the next month and a half to put myself in that position, to hit the ground running. You know, I've got the trial experience. I've been in the courtroom every day for 20 years. So I've got the trial experience. I feel very comfortable in a courtroom. That's where my professional career has been spent. And you're asking to be a trial judge, so that makes sense, doesn't it?
It should go hand in hand.
So I feel very, very comfortable in managing a trial.
Okay.
No problem there. That's the administrative issues that that I would want to get up to speed on. So I would work closely with the circuit court administrator and the other experienced judges here in Muskegon County to make sure that we are in a position to, as I said earlier, hit the ground running.
Okay. Now, with that being said, on the opposite end, if come Tuesday, November the 6th, and you're not elected, what's next?
I would continue to have the heart of a servant. No one's going to take that away from me.
Nah.
No electorate is going to take that heart of a servant away. I was born with that, and so I would continue to serve.
And would that continue to be from the senior position that you're at now?
Yes,
prosecutor.
I would imagine it would be, or in any other capacity that came, any other opportunity that came. I would continue to serve this community. I believe in Muskegon. I think it's a great place. It's a great place to raise your family and to live and work. And no one would take that away. That's not going to change on November 7th.
All right. All right.
Is there anything else that you would like to get out to the listeners, any other information, anything else that you would like to tell them before they go to the polls on Tuesday?
Well, just to go to the polls on Tuesday, make sure if you're an absentee voter to get your absentee voter ballot into the respective clerk of your respective jurisdiction or get to the polls and vote. But I would like to say this, that my wife and I have worked really diligently over the last 8 months, and we have come to meet some really, really great people on the campaign trail. And I would just say thank you to each and every one of those supporters, because you know, when you go door to door, you meet a lot of people, and there's a whole spectrum of people in this community and with issues that need to be addressed, and it's been an honor to be able to talk with them and try to help them the best that we can, and it's been an honor to meet all those people. So we say thank you for your support, and we want to say thank you for giving us the honor to be able to run for this position.
Amen.
Okay. Now, what is your website for those who would like to learn more about your campaign?
Yeah, the website is www.kostrava4judge.com, and that's KostrzaForJudge.com.
All right.
Okay.
you know, the common spelling.
Smith. Now, you did mention you guys have gone door to door. You've done the neighborhood canvassing.
Absolutely.
Of course, Rosie and I would love to have the perfect questions for every, you know, candidate. But what are some of the questions that you've run into that are kind of like, oh, I've never heard it put that way, or maybe haven't considered that before?
You know, when you go door to door and you knock on that door, you do not know what's going to happen. You just absolutely don't. And it's an adventure. It's an adventure. No, it's actually very satisfying because you get to connect with the community right. on their front porch. Mm-hmm. And it's not often that you get to do that. Right. You know, we're often in the sterile setting of the courthouse. But when you're on somebody's front porch, they're in their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And they feel very comfortable to ask you any question that comes to their mind. Right. And you really have to think on your feet and be ready for anything. But, you know, we've gotten questions all the way from, are you a judicial activist, and what's your position on your judicial philosophy, to where you stand on social issues, and a whole host of things. But it's really an honor to be able to field questions on somebody's front porch. Mm-hmm. And when you give them a good straight answer, they appreciate it. They just mm-hmm. want an honest answer.
Right.
And people, for the most part, appreciate you coming to their door because most people want to be conscientious voters.
Right. Right.
And when you give them the opportunity to meet the candidate right there on their front porch, I think they appreciate it. Now, there's a little political saturation going on here towards the end. I mean, with the commercials and the robocalls the barrage of politics. Mm-hmm. So that patience with somebody knocking on their door one more time is waning somewhat. but for the most part, people are very appreciative of somebody coming to their door and giving them the opportunity to meet somebody that's running for elective office.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it so much. And you folks at 103.7 The Beat have been very gracious. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on the air with you.
Thank you. And we would love to have you back on Election Day for our Election Day coverage.
Rosie, you give me the time and I'll be back here.
Okay. We'll take care of that in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and good luck with your campaign.
Thank you very much.